be with you again, old friends, and I always hope to meet some new ones too. If you turn on your television these days, like as not, you will find you are watching or you are about to watch a cookery program. Seems strange that such a conflict of interest should be permitted. All of these seemingly unhealthy foods on the one hand and advice about diet on the other, but there we are. And as you read through the verses 28 to 30, they sound to me, I don't know if you ladies will agree, they sound like a recipe. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Take my yoke, that's Y-O-K-E, of course, upon you and learn of me. A recipe consists of things to do and ingredients. And the outcome, hopefully, is guaranteed. And that is exactly what we have in these well-known verses. A recipe for rest. Rest for the weary. The preceding verses, and we ought not to ignore them, they are part of our passage this morning, make the point that understanding what God wants us to know is not a matter of discovery. It is a matter of revelation. In fact, Jesus says that God goes out of his way, as it were, to hide these things, that is, spiritual realities, from the wise and the learned. Of course, we encourage Christians to study God's word. But that is not so much that they might, by intellectual exercise, discover, but that God, through his Spirit and using his word, may reveal to us spiritual realities. And then Jesus goes on to make this wonderful invitation. I hope we appreciate how privileged we are that we should receive an invitation from Jesus Christ, God's other self, to approach him. There are many reasons why we should fear to approach him. He is holy. He is the one who has been appointed judge of all the earth. He is the one before whom, in the fullness of time, we shall all stand. And yet now, he invites us to approach him. Is this in anticipation of judgment? Not at all. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. What are the four things we have to do in this recipe for soul rest? There are four things. We have to come, we have to take, we have to learn, and we shall find rest for our souls. First of all, then, Jesus says, come to me. And this is the first thing that we have to do if we require rest for our souls. In one sense, of course, as Jesus addressed the multitude, those hearing him, inviting them to come to him, could physically do so. But even in those days, I suggest there was a deeper significance to his words. We cannot physically approach him. In what sense then can we come to him? Many folks in this secular age increasingly do the opposite of coming to him. And they seem to know how to distance themselves from him, to keep him at arm's length. They say, we don't do Jesus. They think they know how to avoid him. What if we don't want to avoid him? If we want rather to come to him? We remember that in God's word we have this promise, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. We must follow our wish if we would meet with him. We must open our minds to the reality of his person, of his invitation, and of his gentleness. We must accept his presence in our conscious minds. Come unto me. We don't have to wait until we feel good enough, or we would wait forever. I remember the Billy Graham meetings, some of us do. They used to conclude with a hymn of invitation. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou didst bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. First step, we must come to him. The second step, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Frequently we are offered extravagant gifts, hopefully, and we feel we cannot accept this. We must pay for it in some way. And we are almost brought up to feel we are not going to get anything for nothing. Fathers chastise their lazy sons on the basis of this. Go for it. You will get nothing unless you try. This is one of life's earliest lessons, that rewards correspond to the effort that we put in. Well, that might be true in this world, but it's not true with God. There is nothing we can do to qualify for the gift that God offers to us. What is it? What shall Jesus offer to us? Notice, he says, I will give you rest. We cannot pay for it. It is a gift. We can only receive it as such. It's not come and serve, not come and earn. It's come and take. What is it that he will give to us? Take my yoke upon you. You might be able to visualize an Ovaltine tin bearing the logo of a milkmaid. Can you remember her? And on her shoulders, there is a yoke. And from each end of the yoke, a chain hangs with a container filled with milk. What is the purpose of the yoke? It is to spread the burden, to enable her to bear it comfortably. But this is not the kind of yoke I feel that Jesus has in mind. Rather, he has in mind the kind of yoke that is placed across the shoulders of oxen when they bear burdens, when they plow, when they pull heavy loads. The burden that enables, rather, the yoke that enables a burden to be shared. The yoke that enables one to bear another's burden. This is the yoke that we take from Jesus. He is offering to share, to bear our burden. It is a gracious offering. If we can jump to verse 30, he describes the yoke that he offers to us as easy. Animals would often find, and humans too, if they were milkmaids, the yoke that was supposed to help them, in fact, was very uncomfortable and far from helping them. Sometimes made their lives more difficult. Not so with the yoke that Jesus offers us. If we become yoked to him, it is a comfortable yoke. And those burdens that we bear for him are light, because we know we do his will, the one who loves us and gave himself. We take his yoke upon us. He bears our burdens with us. And we learn of him. What will he teach us, he who is gentle and lowly in heart? Unsurprisingly, he will teach us gentleness and lowliness. Learn of me. Does that mean learn from me? Does that mean learn about me? It means both. As we learn of him, so by his Spirit, the qualities of his life are reproduced in us. It's only fair to tell you, friends, if you wish to stay as you are, then perhaps you had better wait until you wish to be like him. Because those who come to him and take from him and learn from him become like him. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. These are the qualities that Jesus reproduces in those who come to him. Come, take, learn, and find. The last step in making a cake is turning it out. Sometimes with difficulty because it sticks in the tin. This is the time to find out if it is a success. Has it sunk in the middle? Is it burned? Has the fruit settled to the bottom of the mixture? Is it dry? Has the recipe produced the desired outcome? Come, take, learn, and you shall find rest unto your souls. This is a guaranteed recipe. Guaranteed recipe for soul rest. We need to be sure what we mean by soul rest. So many folks confuse their real self with their physical self. That's not so. Those of you who are of a certain age should realize this more than others, because you will have begun to realize that your body is not even on your side. let alone representing your true self. Oh no. Your body is something in which, for a while, you can live, but your true self is your personhood, your identity before your Maker. The Bible calls it your soul. And it is soul rest that Jesus promises you. Come, take, learn, and find. Soul rest has been hidden from the wise and the learned, revealed unto babes, children, those who come with trust, those who come with expectation, and those who come in obedience. Simpleness of heart. What does soul rest involve? It involves the knowledge of sins forgiven. We are the hardest people to forgive. To forgive yourself is the hardest thing, and I sometimes wonder if we have the right to do it, or if we should bear through life the awareness of our culpability and our regret for the many things that we have done to grieve our Heavenly Father. But that awareness of culpability, that regret, can remain alongside of the knowledge that God has forgiven our sins, such as they may be. Soul rest involves being aware of inner resources that God gives you. Being aware of his presence with you day by day and night by night. Of having a certainty of a heavenly destiny when these lives' short moments are finished. And of knowing a peace that passes all understanding. Come unto me, said Jesus, all ye that labour. You see, this is a targeted invitation. Is anyone here who thinks life is easy, who assumes that everything is going to be a bed of roses? Then perhaps you could leave this invitation on the mantelpiece. It is for those who labour and are heavy laden. We bear our own burdens. We bear to some extent the burdens of others. We bear responsibilities. We bear expectations. We have financial concerns, anxieties, guiltiness. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, says Jesus. And I will give you rest. Shall you come? Shall we pray? We thank you, our Heavenly Father, that we poor, wretched sinners of earth have that wonderful invitation to come to the Son of God. Not for judgment, not just for mercy, but for the gracious gift of rest for our weary, labouring souls. We pray that those things that you have hidden from the wise and prudent may this morning be revealed to us as we as little children come to you trusting, expecting. May each one of us know the reality of feeling that our soul is at rest because Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour. We give you our thanks in his precious name. Amen.